Hi, I'm Paul Andrew. This is the Express Route for Office 365 implementation training. And this session is going to be about Skype for Business connectivity with Express Route. So we're going to look specifically at network assessments and some other considerations for Skype for Business. So I'm a program manager on the Office 365 team, and I focus on network performance for Office 365. And for this session, I'm here with Hao.
Hi, my name is Hao Yan. I'm a software architect for Skype for Business. And I work for network performance and network readiness for our customers.
Great. Thanks for being here, Hao. So in this session, we're going to talk about four topics. We'll talk about Skype for Business connectivity and how you get connected in the first place. What are, you know, the ports and things that need to be open? And then we'll talk about some of the performance requirements that are specific to Skype for Business. And how you can measure those and how you can make things work really well. We'll talk about some specific network connectivity considerations for dealing with some of those performance requirements. And then we'll follow up and talk about the different types of network assessments that various services teams and partners do for helping to make sure that Skype for Business works really well with networking that you have or with ExpressRoute networking connectivity. So in the first section, we're going to take a look at Skype for Business Online network connectivity. So we want to talk about what it takes to actually get connected in the first place. And to start talking about that, Hao, would you tell us a little bit about the online traffic flows for Skype for Business?
Sure. Why don't we take a look at the online traffic flow using a couple of diagrams?
All right.
So the first diagram shows a very common scenario. In this case, two users sitting on the same network, which is the customer's network, doing phone calls to each other. As you can see in the diagram, the dotted line actually shows our signaling flow, which is essentially the traffic that negotiate the session and try to connect to each other. And the solid line shows our media flow. Media in this case, we're talking about audio, video, and application sharing. So in this case, since these two users are sitting on the same network, their media actually connects directly to each other. The signaling flow, though, as you can see on the diagram, they go from the user to the edge of the customer network, and then from the customer's network, come to the Microsoft network, and then goes into the Office 365 service that's hosted in our network.
All right. So what happens if you are not just two users who are connected within an organization? Tell us about that.
Sure. Let's take a look at the next diagram. So in this diagram, we still have two users, but think about this as a scenario where a user hosts a conference in Skype for Business. So in this case, signaling still goes the same way, which is from the user, goes all the way to Office 365 Cloud, our service, basically. The media flow depends on where the user is from, actually connects differently. So for the user who are sitting in the customer's network, their media flow will go, now in this case, from the user to the edge of the customer's network, over the internet or the ExpressRoute connection, and then to our media server inside our Microsoft network. A user on the internet will essentially do the same way. Obviously, in this case, the user does not have to, their traffic does not have to traverse the corporate network or the firewalls that goes with it.
So can I ask you a question about that? Let's say a call starts off with two users and they're inside of the corporate network, like the first diagram, mm-hmm. and then they add another user, like the user outside the network on the second diagram. Mm-hmm. What happens then? How do you relate the two?
So in that case, actually, we call that an escalation. That's basically escalation from a peer-to-peer session into a conference session. Once the escalation happens, the user essentially will renegotiate their real-time media traffic with our conferencing server. So from that point on, the media traffic actually goes exactly as the conference flow as we show on the right hand of the diagram. One of the sort of the rule of thumb to to think about the media flow and our signaling flow is that the signaling always goes from the user to our service in all scenarios. Media, on the other hand, try to find, our software try to find the optimal path. So in some cases, like the one on the left hand of the diagram, connect directly to each other. In other cases, because of the firewall that needs to be traversed, our software needs a little bit help from the services that we run in our Microsoft network. So in those cases, like conferences, when you make a PSTN call, or when you make a call with a user sitting outside of your network, your traffic actually goes from the user to all the way to the Office 365 network.
Right. So there's obviously a little bit of networking complexity in there. Can we take a look at that one more layer down and talk about the ports and what those network transactions are?
Sure.
And we have a slide?
Yes. So on this slide, we summarize the signaling and the data collaboration traffic. Data collaboration, basically, think about the scenario of doing a whiteboard in a meeting, upload a PowerPoint presentation into a meeting. That's what we internally call data collaboration. So as you can see, we use mostly TCP as a transport, and the ports we use are 443 for our signaling and data collab protocol.
So those are the easy ones, the TCP connections for signaling that all go from the client to the server. Tell us a little bit about the media protocols and what ports and things that those use.
Right. Media is actually a little bit more complex, given that we need to make a connection between the two endpoints. This is our term for basically saying a user and another user, or a user and a conferencing server or some other server when you make a PSTN call. So we try, in terms of the protocol transport, we use both TCP and UDP. We for real-time media traffic, we actually prefer UDP. And for Skyfall Business, we actually allocated specific port ranges for audio, video, and application sharing, and on TCP and UDP. Our software basically twice when we try to establish a media session, we basically twice all the available protocols and port ranges, determining what is the best. For example, we obviously prefer UDP over TCP because right. UDP is better for real-time traffic. We try all different combinations. That's our way to essentially traverse the firewalls that are in different places, at the DMZ for the customer's network or your home firewall. But at the end of the day, what is the minimum required ports for Skyfall Business? We actually, believe it or not, we actually work only on TCP 443, if that's what the customer chooses to
open. If that's the only one that's there, Skype will be able to make a call.
Correct.
Right.
And the caveat, though, is that we definitely will make that work. The caveat is that TCP is not built for real-time traffic. It's not the best protocol for real-time traffic.
Because it does retransmits on error, and we don't actually need that with audio.
It introduces delays because it will not lose packet. Mm-hmm. That basically translates into delays, and delays is not good for real-time traffic. But at the end of the day, minimum required ports to be opened by the customer is TCP port 443. Right. Now, if the customers want to do a little better than that, we strongly recommend the customer to open up one port, 3478, on UDP. And with that, all the media sessions will need help of a server called Media Relay that's hosted by Skype for Business. But our media will flow over UDP. We will see pretty significant reliability and quality improvements just because we're doing UDP.
Right.
What is the best port. What is the best for the opening up the ports? That will be all the port ranges that we put on the slide. That give our software the most flexibility in terms of choosing really the best media paths. If we can do direct, we will go direct. If we have to use one media server, we would not use two to help making up the connection.
So can you tell us a few best practices for opening these ports?
Sure. We actually publish all the ports, and on top of that, all the URLs and IP addresses, IP address ranges, that is, that we use on the Office 365 documentation site. I would strongly recommend the customer to, if they do not allow all the IP traffic to the outside world, in other words, they want to whitelist certain IP ranges and ports to Skype for Business, I would strongly recommend customers not only read and configure based on the ports and URLs we publish, but actually subscribe to our other RSS feed. Because you know what? As a dynamic public service, we actually changes the IP addresses, the URLs from time to time. So
And we're growing a lot too, right? So we have to add them to continue with that growth.
So subscribe to the updates, right. and configure properly and update.
Now, I know NAT is supported, network address translation, and even with UDP, and we've got that on the slide there. Are there any requirements for inbound network connectivity for Skype for Business media connections?
So inbound and outbound actually for Skype for Business is no different from the rest of Office 365. A couple of requirements. Let me talk about outbound first. We actually need a public IP address in order to communicate with Office 365 service, Skype for Business in this case. Customers can, obviously, if they have public IP addresses for all their clients, they're welcome to do that. But is that not very realistic for most of our customers?
Right.
So in that case, a NAT is a network address translation is a very common practice,
right,
to satisfy that requirement. When the customer do NAT, we have a couple of best practice recommendations. One is that implement source NAT, which basically means the NAT implementation, when they do the address translation, do not change the destination IP address, which is the public IP addresses of our media servers, our signaling servers. Another very, very important thing for Skype for Business is that the network address mapping and port mapping, for that matter, should not change during the session. A particular Skype for Business session. So when in a conference, if such a network mapping changes, then our software actually will not authorize that traffic to the new ports and IP addresses. And therefore, the audio and video and application sharing in that session would actually fail.
Right.
Now let's talk about the inbound traffic. Inbound traffic to the customer's network for, in the scenario such as hybrid deployment essentially requires an IP address for whatever the server. In this case, in the Skype for Business case, it's that edge server that customers deploy on-prem. We also require a publicly addressable IP address. And our customers has chosen, there are two ways to do that. One is directly IP address. In this case, it's easier. It's not like you need to have an IP address for every single of your client. You just need a couple of IP addresses for your servers. Many of our customers also choose to do a NAT to expose a publicly addressable IP address.
Right. And that's for that optional inbound service if you have a hybrid where you've got a Skype for Business server on premises.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So that tells us about how to connect connectivity. Now let's talk a little bit more about some of the performance requirements. So we're going to talk first about just the general media flow How do you want to tell us about how that works and what kind of what sort of high-level requirements we have? Why do we have requirements around performance?
Sure. So setting a network performance requirement, what we really aim at is that there, if you look at all the segments, our Sky for Business traffic needs to go through in order to reach our signaling and media servers. There's a portion of the network our customers can control. There's a portion of the network that we in Microsoft are committed to make it the best. So if you look at the diagram, from a Sky for Business client, in order to reach the first server in the Sky for Business, which is a media relay showing in the diagram, the network traffic goes from the client, maybe through a Wi-Fi network, goes through the LAN, maybe through a WAN network, and come to the customer's edge of the network. And from that point on, depending on the internet access technology that the customers deploy, and we have two choices. One is the general internet. The other one is obviously express route. Yeah. From that connection to the network, Microsoft's network edge, this is a network segment. Our customers are in control. Okay. The next, from that point on, it comes into our network, Microsoft network. This is a part that we will try our best to make it the lowest latency, zero packet loss, and zero jitter. So basically a perfect good network to run our public service.
Right. Yeah, we invest a lot in that.
Right. So the in terms of network performance requirements, what we set is obviously for the customer, the network section that customers can control. And we further break down that into two segments. One is from the client to the edge of the customer's network. This is basically the internal network, as our customers
say. Sort of inside their building, but you know, not entirely. But if they had one building, it would be inside their building.
Correct. And then the either internet or the ER connection to our service. We call that customer's network edge to the Microsoft network edge. So we set the network performance targets correspondingly. For example, for latency, which is how long it takes to carry a network traffic packet from point A to point B. Overall, from client to the edge of our Microsoft network, we set target to be less than 100 milliseconds. On top of that, on the network segments between the customer's network edge and Microsoft network edge, we set the target to be less than 60 milliseconds. So subtracting this two, you sort of get the idea that our recommendation for the latency within, from any point inside the customer's network to the network edge, would be 40 milliseconds.
And so I interpret this as if the customer is within these limits, 160 on those segments, they should be able to have great experience with Skype for Business conversations, meetings, phone calls, etc. If they're outside of those limits, they should do something about it. They should take some troubleshooting action, find bottlenecks, maybe switch to another network provider, etc., in order to improve.
That's correct. That's exactly the purpose why we sort of published this network performance requirements, which is, by the way, based on years of experience that we have looking at the end-to-end media flow and looking at where the latency, packet loss, and network jitter are introduced. We come up with those targets.
Now, you mentioned, we talked about latency just now, but then you also said packet loss and jitter. Packet loss sounds relatively obvious.
Right.
Packets don't reach the other end. And with UDP, that sort of doesn't matter if there's not too many of them because the rest of the packets will carry on.
Right.
But tell us what jitter is. What is jitter?
Jitter basically is average delay of the arrival of the network packets. And why is that important in the real-time media scenarios? Well, packets, if your voice, the packets that represents your voice, mm-hmm. arrive not consistently, or rather constantly, to the other end, then your voice will sound, you know what, jittery. Mm-hmm. Well, our software actually have ways to sort of deal with some of the jitters. Like, for example, we have a large, relatively large buffer in our media stack, sort of buffering a little bit so that we can have a chance to even out the voice packets before we play out to the other end of the communication. However, if the jitter is so severe, then the delay is bigger than our buffer size, then we cannot deal with that. That's why we have a criteria for jitter.
Okay, so tell us in more detail. We've got the slide here with a lot more detail about these requirements in addition to the 160 that we talked about already. Do you want to walk us through these and talk about these a little bit more? Why are they important? What are they?
Sure. We talked about latency just now on the criteria, just for depending on how you want to use it. We basically break down the latency into one-way delay or round-trip delay. For packet loss, which is basically a rate of packets that did not arrive to the other end, we have two criteria. One is for the average packet loss. The other one is burst packet loss. For our real-time traffic, burst packet loss is actually more damaging in a lot of cases. So we have criteria for that in the two network segments we just talked about. Right. One thing I would just to clarify, we have, if you look at the criteria on the right-hand side of this table, which is customer network to Microsoft Network Edge, the criteria is definitely more strict.
Yeah, I'm looking at that 0.1% packet loss. It's pretty right. easy to lose, you know, a quarter of a percent or a half percent of packets on right. some random network.
Right. This is exactly why I want to explain. Because with all those troubleshooting that we have with our customers who have less than ideal audio-video quality, we did a lot of diagnosis. We did a lot of analysis. Most of those cases actually indicates that the problem is in the probably the first leg of the network. So think about Wi-Fi mm-hmm. in a corporation, Wi-Fi in your home, or the cellular network when you connect from a mobile. And the kind of packet loss and jitter and delay that we see from that segment alone is significant percentage of all the sort of delays and losses that we have right. seen.
And so we're getting into some troubleshooting advice here. If you need to improve these numbers, you've got to go and look at each segment and each potential bottleneck and what you can do, because it's that, like you had that diagram before, it's that end-to-end right. connectivity that's right. important. Right. And if you have a problem anywhere, you right. can go and improve that and you improve your overall performance.
Right. So that's why we sort of have a more relaxed criteria from the client to the Microsoft Network Edge.
Right, because that's going to be reality. So we talked about the packet inter-arrival jitter or jitter. Mm-hmm. Tell us about packet reorder. Where do I see that? What does that mean?
So packet reorder basically is a situation where packets are delayed so much, in which case the packet got ordered wrong.
So this is a UDP issue, isn't it?
Correct. It's a UDP issue. Basically, a packet from the sending side sends later, arrives earlier.
Right.
Or vice versa.
And TCP would fix that up for us by delaying the whole lot. But correct. UDP, you just get them. And so right. an out-of-order packet just simply means my voice and video are going to be odd.
Correct. And again, our software will have a buffer that can correct some of these. But right. Do note that we sort of pay the price of delaying it because we right. buffer it and then play it. So it still would be better to reduce the amount of jitter and packet reorder just from the network perspective.
And does the stack buffer more if it notices that there's jitter and packet reorder requirements?
Actually, that's the case, yes.
Wow, right.
But there's obviously a limit.
Sure.
Yeah.
So then we have a URL at the bottom of this page. And if you go to that URL, you'll see, of course, that the first link on that URL is actually a white paper that talks about all of these requirements. And the key is you want to be able to measure these requirements and then identify what needs to be done in order to meet these requirements so that you can have the optimal experience. So how do we do that?
Sure. Yes. So I want to talk about two aspects of measuring the network assessment. First is, when do you do it? My short answer is actually all the time, throughout the life cycle. Actually, let me explain a little bit more. During the planning stage where you do your homework to plan out Office 365 deployment and specifically for Skype for Business, you want to get an idea of both your internal network and your connectivity to Office 365 service in terms of network performance. And if the network performance does not meet our requirements, you need to understand where the problems are. And by breaking the network segments into two, which is one, your internal network, two, your connectivity to Office 365, would definitely help you with that. And this is a time also when you want to decide whether ExpressRoute is an option for you to sort of improve the network performance between your network and Office 365.
And certainly something I've seen very much working with customers is where there are performance issues, right. a lot of times we can find things inside large corporate mm-hmm. networks that have been around for a long time, and finding those issues in those part of the network is pretty easy
right.
To go and remediate something there. And I know we talk to a lot of customers about direct networking and ExpressRoute, and sometimes people say, well, can't I put an ExpressRoute and that will solve my networking problems? Well, I really need to know if the networking problem is inside their network or from their network to Microsoft's network, because ExpressRoute is only the latter.
Right.
It's only replacing that outside piece. And if all of those issues are inside the customer's network, well, yes, we can help them fix them, but replacing their internet connectivity with ExpressRoute doesn't help with that directly because it's not impacting that piece of wire.
And in general, we would recommend our customers to talk to their network service providers, or in this case, the ExpressRoute network service providers,
right.
to see what kind of performance that they can provide.
Right. There's definitely ways that performance can be improved over the internet with ExpressRoute. We'll get into that in just a moment.
Right.
But let's focus on the measuring. How do we go about doing these measurements?
Oh, actually, before we talk about measuring, there are a couple of other cases we still recommend customers to do network assessment. One is in the deployment stage. You have done all the planning. You have potentially decided to use ExpressRoute to help with the network performance. That's where you want to do it again to validate whether the kind of problems that you identified during the planning stage
right.
has been addressed. During the operation stage, because network environment changes all the time.
With load?
With load, with changes,
right.
with config changes, with network topology changes. You would want to have an ongoing monitoring of the network performance, just as well as when you want to monitor your actual audio-video quality and reliability.
Right.
That would be the best practice recommendation that we have. Now, in terms of how to measure, we have a set of tools from our Skype operations framework. Mm-hmm. Some of them are built by ourselves. Some of them are offered through our partners. In general, all those tools tries to simulate real-time media traffic to, against either a service that we provide, which is a media relay at the edge of our network, or against some server that's running inside the Microsoft cloud where our partners host. So a couple of best practice kind of recommendations when our customers do want to assess the network performance. One key thing is that you want to run it long enough so that the load of your network is representative to your normal business. The sort of the peak time, the low time, you want to run it for at least 1 week.
Because the congestion that is apparent on the network at any given time is going to be the primary, probably the biggest factor on the results that you get.
That's a great point. Yeah, that's exactly the reason. You want to your network assessment to capture if there's a congestion on your network or on your internet or express route connection.
Right.
That's why we recommend it to run the network assessment for at least a week.
Right.
And during that week period, you want to collect enough data points so that still, again, you capture the ups and downs of your network load. And just one example, you can run the network assessment tool every 10 minutes, simulate one call. And at end of the 1 week, our recommendation is to look at all the data, take the 90th percentile of the data point for each of the latency, loss, and jitter value,
mm-hmm.
and compare that to our requirements we just talked about.
Right. And here on the slide, we have a link to that same requirements document that we just talked about. And the links are all at the end of the slides as well, so you can grab those.
Right.
So just to summarize here, when to measure, we want to measure before we deploy so that we can see what our network looks like. And then after we've done remediation, so we can see if we resolved any issues we have.
Right.
And then we want to do some measurements while we're operating the network as well. We want to make sure that our users continue to have good quality Skype conversations.
Right.
And we're talking about a network assessment, which is basically doing that test of what's my latency, what's my packet loss, what's my jitter on a call, and doing that call and measuring those results over a period of time so
right.
that we get a good assessment of what does our network look like.
Right.
And we should be able to get a nice, healthy network or have some work to go and mitigate issues that we see.
That will be the next step.
Right.
Yes.
All right. So what should we do next? Should we take a look at one of these network assessments?
Yeah, absolutely. We just released a network assessment tool recently. I can show you how it works.
All right. Okay, so let's take a look at a demo of the network assessment tool. We'll take a look at what it takes to actually run these tests and get some results.
First, let's talk about how to get this tool. We published the Skype for Business Network Assessment tool as a web download. So use your favorite search engine. Just search that. You will find the download page. We will download that. And I already downloaded it and put it in a directory. So first thing I want to show you is a quick look at the configuration. This basically give you the ability to customize a little bit in terms of how long the network assessment is run. For example, the number of iterations. In this particular case, I set it to 200. And here is the IP address that we published as a target to hit in terms of the running the test. Now let me actually run the test. It's actually pretty simple. Just as a network assessment tool as an executable, it will read the configuration we just looked at. This is going to take a while. 200 iterations will probably run for about 2 or 3 hours. But I did save a couple of results for us to take a look at. For taking a look at the results, we actually have another executable called resultsanalyzer.exe. So let's take a look at the results that I run earlier on my desk using which has an Ethernet connection. So in this case, it shows that for this test, I run 909 iterations, basically make 909 calls continuously. And here are the measurements, 90th percentile measurements in terms of packet loss, RTT latency, and jitter and packet reorder. And to make it easy to compare with our requirements, we have two sections. If this is a test that's executed from a client machine, then you should look at this section. And in this case, everything passed. Perfect. It's a good network. And if the test is executed on a network edge, for example, in a machine in the DMZ, then you should look at the bottom section, which does not apply to this particular results. Just one more thing before we conclude this demo. I run another test earlier on my laptop, which has a Wi-Fi connection. Let's take a look at how good that our Microsoft corporate Wi-Fi is.
This is in a random Microsoft building on campus.
And I'm intentionally holding my laptop and walking around in my building.
Right.
So in this particular case, if you look at this results section, just look at the pass or fail. The packet loss and latency are still pretty good.
Yeah.
Jitter is good. Yeah. But as you can see, the packet reorder ratio failed. If you recall in the earlier discussion when we talk about the criteria here should be something like 0.01%. Now we're saying 0.24%. So obviously there's some work that we need to do in our Wi-Fi access points to improve this particular aspect of the network performance.
All right, so the next part, we want to talk about some specific connectivity considerations, things that are really going to impact the hitting those performance numbers. So the first one we want to look at is bandwidth, the amount of bandwidth that you have for a connectivity. This is obviously fairly basic. You've got to have the right bandwidth, but there's a bit more detail to it with Skype, isn't there?
Yes. The reason that we want to talk about bandwidth, Paul, as you hinted earlier, a very, very important point. The when jitter happens, when packet loss happens, that's usually when you do not have enough bandwidth and a network is congested. All those the network performance basically degrades. That's why it's very important to do a good planning for network bandwidth and making sure you have enough. Specifically, we actually have for Skype for Business, we have a bandwidth calculator that helps the customers to model their Skype for Business traffic, and as a result, we compute the amount of network bandwidth required at each location that our customers specify. And based on that result, we strongly recommend to our customers to properly provision or over-provision their internet or express route connection to the Office 365 network. And just as a reference, I listed the audio codecs, video codecs that we use. Actually, in this case, just audio codecs that we use in different situations inside a Skype for Business and the bandwidth requirements. All these are integrated in the bandwidth calculator tool. So you really don't need to get into the details of this. You just need to understand the usage pattern of your users from different locations.
All right, so bandwidth is one. And the other detail that we wanted to talk about is QoS.
QoS and bandwidth planning goes hand in hand. Yep. In the ideal case, you would want to over-provision your network connection to the Microsoft network so that you don't introduce this congestion. But as we all know, that congestions do happen. So in that case, the quality of service would be a method for us to prioritize the real-time traffic, specifically audio, video, and application sharing traffic. One important thing, point that I want to get is that, again, QoS does not replace good bandwidth planning. You would rather want to think about them go hand in hand. You would want QoS, ideally, to not ever kick in. Think about it as an insurance policy. In terms of implementing the QoS, as we discussed earlier, many of the problems that we see are in the Wi-Fi access points, in the bad connection from one office to another office, or we don't have enough bandwidth over the corporate WAN. So for Skype for Business, our customers, we actually require our customers to turn on DSCP QoS marking on their network. On top of that, optionally, they can deploy ExpressRoute, which is a which is an alternative to the internet in terms of routing packets to Office 365. ExpressRoute honors the DSCP QoS markings so that you get end-to-end QoS.
The key being here that on Microsoft's network edge, we don't accept QoS over the internet, because you can't trust devices on the internet to have correctly marked QoS. So you have to have ExpressRoute in order to get QoS over that gap of customers' network edge to Microsoft network edge. But I totally get what you're saying. With all these issues of network capacity inside the WAN on the Wi-Fi network, it's primarily recommended to have QoS implemented inside the customer's network and have routers honoring that inside the network, because that's where the majority of the problems occur.
Right. Now let's talk a little bit about how best practices of how to do the QoS marking or the DSCP marking. We discussed earlier we have distinct port ranges specified for our Skype for Business client to use for audio, video, and application sharing. And that port range can be used to differentiate different type of traffic in terms of marking DSCP. And specifically, our customers are doing the marking in two ways. For Windows, our Windows customers, you can use a group Windows group policy to specify the QoS policy on the machine. On the client machine. Or you can choose to mark DSCP of Skype for Business traffic on your network gears. Basically, whenever our Skype for Business traffic hits your first router, first switch, that's when you can identify, again, based on the source port we just talked about, to mark DSCP. And in this table, we have our guidance on what value of the DSCP for different traffic.
Right. So QoS summary, highly recommended. Most important inside of the customer's WAN and LAN and Wi-Fi network. Can be used across direct networking to Microsoft using ExpressRoute as well. Some customers may need that as well. There are a few tricks in order to apply those DSCP markings onto the packets as they go through routers. But really, we want to make sure that people have sufficient bandwidth. You're not going to get more bandwidth out of a pipe by turning quads on. If you're constrained on your bandwidth have no headroom at all, quads may not save you from that.
That's absolutely correct.
Right. Yeah. All right, so we've been talking about different types of network performance requirements for Skype. Now let's just briefly talk about, and we talked of course about network assessment testing. We do a lot of different types of network assessments. Let's talk about some of the different types that we have at Microsoft for different recommendations. And specifically, the network assessment that you demoed is the tool that tests and gives us a result for a network for Skype for Business for use in planning, testing that your remediation is going, and ongoing testing health of the network. Now, we have a offering called a Skype for Business Network Assessment as well, which includes testing like that, but also other tests and perhaps some strategies for mitigation and reporting and doing that mitigation as well, which we recommend for people planning for Skype for Business connectivity. So that would be, that's almost a larger term of a network assessment, and one that our partners and our services teams do. But we actually have four different network assessments looking at on this table. That same network assessment planning is often done for Office 365, which is largely around bandwidth planning and making sure that the right ports are open. So those are when you're planning and setting things up. But then we also do talk about network assessments in terms of remediation, where there's a performance issue or a complaint from a user where you might need to do a remediation. We often use the term network assessment for that troubleshooting engagement, where someone has to go in and look at the problem and try and identify the root cause. And so we have kind of these four quadrants of network assessment projects that people do, using the network assessment tool that Hao showed, and also using other network assessment tools that are available. So we wanted to talk about this a little bit just to make sure that people understood that if they hear the term network assessment, it doesn't just mean one tool or one project or one stage of your project, but it could mean these different things. So it's important not to let that term, which is a very important term, get confusing because of the different ways that people use it. All right, so that's a quick word on network assessments. So let's talk about what we learned here. And we started off talking about network performance. We both work on network performance, so obviously we understand the criticality of it. Hao, I'll let you walk us through some of these takeaways that we have here.
Sure. Network performance, why is it important for us to spend this time to talk about it? Because it has a direct correlation to Skype for Business media experience. In terms of measuring the network performance against the criteria that we published, we recommend our customers to do it before, during, and after Skype for Business online implementation, really as an ongoing process. Right. To monitor alongside with the quality of the actual media Skype for Business experience. And in terms of connectivity from a customer to Skype for Business, we strongly recommend our customers to follow the URL IP ranges and ports that we publish to allow the UDP and TCP traffic.
Right. And if they can't, we talked about the good, better, best, where we're going to be able to achieve a call.
Right. Yeah. So if you do the good and better, then I would even strongly recommend our customer to monitor closely the network performance and the actual audio-video performance, as we talked about. For example, TCP is not the greatest for real-time media traffic. On top of that, making just a connection from A to B, the bandwidth and planning and quality of service planning go hand in hand. One ensures that congestion on the network happens as rarely as possible. QoS ensures when congestion happens, at least the real-time, the most critical real-time traffic get prioritized as compared to, say, file downloads. Lastly, our customers need to think about bandwidth and cross-planning as hand-in-hand kind of planning activity. Bandwidth, ensuring your network have enough bandwidth, reduce the chance of network congestion happening on your network or on your connection to our Microsoft network. Right. QoS, having QoS in place, give you the ability to prioritize real-time audio-video traffic when congestion in those real cases, I might add, when that happens, prioritize the real-time audio and video traffic.
Hal, thanks very much for joining me today and talking about network performance on Skype for Business.
Oh, no problem.
So that brings us to the end of this session for implementing ExpressRoute on Office 365, where we've been focusing on Skype for Business. Thanks very much for watching.